Folks, we live in a time, we live in a world where people will tell you this is not clear. Where, in fact, when God says something in His Word, that it means something totally different. But you see, there's a consistency. God speaks with clarity to His people. And folks, if we do not stand firm behind that, if we do not hold fast to these teachings from the beginning, knowing our heritage, if we don't know our foundation, will collapse.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor David Van Beber. Continuing his series in Acts, Brother Dave preached from the book of Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 8 in his sermon titled, Schooling the Learned. We hope you'll enjoy the message that Brother Dave brought, and we pray that his sermon might inspire you as you continue your walk with Christ.
Crystal, thank you so much. Phyllis, thank you likewise. I'm so glad that you're playing the organ and I'm not, because it would just be the worst thing. Don't want to detract from our incredibly important topic today. We are moving back to the book of Acts. As you remember, we've been working through the book of Acts each Sunday. We've had a chance. We did take a little break and for 2 weeks looked at the Lord's Supper and pleaded for unity. Gosh, we still need to be unified every time we are together as one voice, as a body of believers who have been focused on a mission. And when we dig into the book of Acts, what do we see? A church that is desperate to reach the lost world around them. And we are in chapter 7 of Acts today. Chapter 7, we just finished chapter 6, and I'll give you just a bit of context to find us where we are today. Stephen and six others in chapter 6 were called to the ministry. A church of believers who had been unified by prayer and unified by persecution found men who were willing to serve, who stood out amidst the world, the desperate lost world that they lived in. They laid hands on them and they prayed and then they sent them out. And then, I mean, just right after that, we find Stephen. And where is he? You know, it's interesting. Stephen has not been called to be a pastor. In fact, if you look back with me in Acts chapter 6, you can see why they selected these men. Verse 3 of Acts chapter 6. Of course, if you remember, there was a little bit of a disturbance because the disciples, the apostles, were busy serving tables. Hey, I want to make sure I call something out real quick. Deanie and Charlie and Pat, all of you who serve tables, you did an awesome job. I want you to know how encouraging it was when I sat down there on Friday night with Terry and Gerald and Jeff, and Deanie and Charlie and Pat had set up things, and Gerald, you also did tables too, but at that time you weren't, as things were being cleaned up, and I thought, there it is, there's the example. You see, they were serious in listening to where God could use them, and they made themselves available despite sores and pains, despite tiredness. What an incredibly impressive thing. And you know what happened because they were there? Heather was able to lead VBS. Elena didn't have to serve tables. She was able to hand Bibles to kids. Crystal was able to be up here and teach the kids how to dance and sing praises to God. Danny, Tanya was able to teach. Many people were able to serve because others were serving tables. But isn't it interesting that table servant Stephen, right after getting called to serve tables so that the apostles, Gracie, you did great too. I know I'll miss names and I apologize, I really do. What happens in verse 3 of Acts 6? Therefore the brethren selected among them seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, who they may put in charge of this task. In verse 4, but we will do what? And this is the apostles, devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And yet we find right after that, where is Stephen? He's in the synagogue, and what is he doing? The table servant is speaking. The table servant is giving testimony. Why was that? Well, because he was full of the Spirit. And because people had seen good work in his life, laid hands on him, and they knew. This man knew that he had a mission, and he took seriously the Great Commission as his mission. And here's what I love in verse 10 of Acts chapter 6. Again, we're setting some context. What does it say in verse 10? As this uneducated table servant stood before men who were THDs, PhDs in biblical history, incredibly renowned theologians, the man who was called to do what in the church? Serve tables, presents the gospel message in such a way that verse 10 says, but they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. The table servant. We're not talking about Peter and John, who had already put on incredibly impressive proclamations and defenses of the gospel. The table servant. See, they loved God's word so much. They loved each other so much. They loved to study. And if you look at chapter 5, and jump back real quick to chapter 5, verse 42, again, setting the context for where our sermon will be. Verse 42, and every day, in the temple, and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. What an incredibly impressive thing happened. Not this, well, of course, this Wednesday was great, but the Wednesday before, when people in our church went house to house. You know, Mike, I loved going with you. I know that you limped because you had some ankle pains, but you were there, brother. Slow, but you were there. Folks, I can tell you right now that when they beat Peter and John, remember, we can jump back and forth in Acts. They beat Peter and John. They put them in the prison all night. And what happened that next day? With the same power, because it wasn't human power, they proclaimed the gospel. That isn't just a write-off check that says, oh, Curtis, you know, you can just go proclaim the gospel. You know, these folks were empowered by the Spirit because they loved God's word and they loved getting together and they loved being in unity in that proclamation. The mission was more important than the missionaries. You get the mission was more important than the missionaries. That's true today. I read a text just this morning from one of my friends who is a pastor in Kansas City, and he was also friends with a missionary in China who this morning at their gathering was taken out and beat by the officials. And he praised the Lord for it. I don't know about you, but I've never been real all that happy to say, thank you, sir, may I have another, right, when I get beat. Valerie showed me the movie, maybe some of you have heard of it, Wild Hogs. Anyone seen that movie? And those guys go into the town and they get beat up and they keep standing up, Folks, perseverance of the gospel is an incredibly important thing. Let's stand in honor of God's word as we look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, begin at verse 1. The high priest said, are these things so? And he said, hear me, brethren and fathers. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said unto him, leave your country and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you. Then he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. From there, after his father died, God had him move to this country in which you are now living. But he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot of ground. And yet, even when he had no child, he promised that he would give it to him as a possession and to his descendants after him. But God spoke to this effect, that his descendants would be aliens in a foreign land and that they would be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. And whatever nation to which they will be in bondage, I myself will judge, said God. And after that, they will come out and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision so that Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac became the father of Jacob and Jacob of the 12 patriarchs. Let's pray. Lord God, we know that you spoke creation into being. We know, Lord, that you provided for us a route by which we may again have fellowship unbroken with you. God, we seek as a group of believers to see that message spread. Right here in this town, Lord, the kids that heard the gospel, let us be faithful in our proclamation and consistent. And God, today as we look at your word, as we look at an example of a man who was faithful, I pray that our hearts are compelled. God, I pray that clarity is what we see. I pray that we are unified by purpose and we remember that the mission is so much more important than the missionaries. God, we praise you and we thank you that we are able to come before your throne today. Forgive us of our failings and our sins. Forgive us of the times where we have failed to live up to your standard, which is all the time. But God, we ask that you speak. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just love the way that Stephen begins from the beginning. Did you notice that? Folks, there's really something that's kind of discouraging to me. You see, in my Bible, I have, if I split it up into thirds, two-thirds of it, or the left side, is the Old Testament. Folks, there is an incredible amount of biblical illiteracy concerning God's Word and the Old Testament. But where does the gospel message begin? In the beginning. And Stephen knew God's Word and loved God's Word and inspired by the Holy Spirit, he was able to engage the audience where they were. I want to jump back to verse 15. There's something that is impressive here. And fixing their eyes on him, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel. Scripture in the Old Testament gives us an example of this. When Moses, in Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 to 30 and 35, comes down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, what do they say about him? The Jews say, hide your face because it shines, because you've been with the Lord. I've asked us before, how many times are we questioned to give an account of the hope that is in us? If we're not given an account, then there's something wrong. If you're not speaking the truth, there is something wrong. The table servant stands before the teachers, and he even calls them there, you get that? Fathers. And he is able to school the learned in the proclamation of the gospel. They were unable to cope with his wisdom, and his face shone because he had been with the Lord. You see, the church is running up against all types of opposition here. But they've seen a lot of good things. They've set aside Stephen for the ministry, and I love what happens when a person is set aside for the ministry. Right away, they go to work. Right away, they face persecution. And I know that we have members in our church who we've set aside, three of them, in fact, two for ordination for deacon, one we want to license as a minister, Drew and Jeff and Danny. And folks, we have really set them aside. And I can tell you that today, right as we speak, spiritual opposition has made its way into their lives. You see, there's something that's very interesting that we find in the pattern of Acts. Every time we get serious about proclaiming the gospel, we run into a wall. Spiritual warfare attacks. Even the table servant. Even the person cleaning the floor. Folks, we're going to suffer, and we can see it here. But Stephen has been with the Lord, and therefore his face shines. Let's begin to look at the text verse by verse, would you say? All right. Verse 1. The high priest has just heard what has happened. He has just heard about Stephen proclaiming the gospel. He's been drugged before him, and he wants to know, are these things so? Are you really testifying who Jesus is? Folks, are you ready today to give a defense? Do you know your story? Do you know what Jesus has done with your life? Can you trace back how you've seen God show up time and again? You see, there's an interesting thing about what Stephen can do. Stephen had a people, the Jewish people, called by God, chosen by God, elected by God. And he takes them all the way back to Genesis and he says, God chose, God called our people through Abraham. God put us from the very beginning in a position of faith. Oh, wow. See, Stephen speaks to his culture. Stephen speaks to the necessity and the demands of those around him. And he says, from the beginning, our people were chosen. Folks, from the beginning, we were called to salvation. From eternity past, God has chosen us. Do we take comfort in that? And are we ready to give an account of that? Verse 2. This is where it gets fun and going back to Genesis. Notice how important the Old Testament is to the proclamation of the gospel. Notice how important it is to know how God has acted in the past. Verse 2. And he said, hear me, brethren and fathers. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia and lived in Haran. The Creator God showed up to the people of Israel. Folks, the self-existent God has come into creation through Jesus Christ. That same God that came to Abraham showed up in Jerusalem and was born in Bethlehem of a virgin. There's a consistency in the way that God acts. God shows up in society. Jump back with me to Genesis chapter 11. You can keep your finger in there if you'd like. I'm going to. Genesis chapter 11, we'll go to verse 31, just to give you some reminder and some context. Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went together to Ur of the Chaldees in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. God was active in moving people. God doesn't do things on accident. Turn to 14, following some of the narrative here. Chapter 14, verses 18 to 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was the high priest of who? The Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the God Most High who delivered your enemies into your hand. Just as a reminder, folks, God had a protection on Abraham, and God used the priest to declare this God of the Most High. Yahweh was different from the beginning. The Jews had a heritage, and they took comfort in knowing that the possessor of heaven and earth was their God. Amidst all the false gods, they believed that God had spoken into creation, and it is imperative to the gospel message that we believe that God has spoken with clarity into creation. And where does Stephen start with his audience? In the beginning, God spoke with clarity. Folks, we live in a time, we live in a world where people will tell you this is not clear. Where, in fact, when God says something in His Word, that it means something totally different. But you see, there's a consistency. God speaks with clarity to His people. And folks, if we do not stand firm behind that, if we do not hold fast to these teachings from the beginning, knowing our heritage, if we don't know our foundation, we will collapse. Folks, to be missional is to know the Lord. Because the Lord speaks to men. You see, it's interesting in John chapter 15, when Jesus begins to talk about the Paracletus. He says something about the Paracletus. Put your hands back in Acts and let's turn to John 15. John 16, I apologize, verse 8. John 16, verse 8. Jesus talking about this helper. Remember, we believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Unity. in Trinity and Trinity in unity, as the Athanasian Creed tells us. As Southern Baptists, we studied it last week about, yes, not last week, 2 weeks ago, about God, the triune nature of our Creator. In verse 8 of chapter 16, Jesus, speaking of the Helper, the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit, says, "And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." Folks, God's Spirit is speaking and going before us. And if we're faithful, we'll proclaim that. The same God who spoke existence into being, the same God who entered into his creation to redeem creation unto himself, is the same God who speaks today to the hearts of men. And if we are unfaithful to engage the folks the God is already speaking in, we've failed. We've failed as a church. We've failed to be missional. But see, Stephen could proclaim with certainty the same God who called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees, who spoke to him face to face, who promised him that he would enter the land and his people would one day possess it, is the same God who speaks to the hearts of men today, who calls us to salvation. Verse 3, "And he said to him, 'Leave your country and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you.'" Stephen is calling attention to the fact that those men who stood before him in the council knew that there was a hero of faith that they could look up to. They had a unified hero of faith, but the story wasn't complete. Because as Stephen spoke to the men in front of him, they lived under the rule of the Roman Empire. And see, there was something that was incredibly important about the men that stood before him. They believed in a Messiah that would come and redeem that land. But you see, they were so caught up in the physical redemption that they forgot about the spiritual redemption. They were so caught up in the physical world around them, trying to seek a king for the throne right there, that they forgot that the kingdom had already come. John says it really clearly. The kingdom has come in Jesus Christ. The kingdom rule has already begun. And these folks missed it. You see, they could look at heroes of faith, Abraham, and how he left and how he trusted. And then they could remember that the story wasn't complete. Redemption had occurred, but they had missed it. Covered a little bit of verse 4 in there. Let's move to verse 5. "But he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot of the ground, and yet even when he had no children, he promised that he would give it to him as a possession and to his descendants after him." Folks, that spiritual kingdom was what the Israelites needed. We live in a world that seeks today contentment and fulfillment, just like the Hebrew people did there, the Israelites did there, thinking that they could find some type of contentment here on this earth, a Messiah who they, of course, had put to death, jumping back to what Peter says in Acts, was the Messiah who had actually brought the kingdom down, and they were missing it. Really interesting story I read yesterday. Maybe some of you have heard of this. Anyone ever watched Ripley's Believe It or Not? Valerie and I had this great conversation about this. There was this guy on Ripley's Believe It or Not. His name was Stalking Cat. His actual name was Dennis Anver. He was the, of course, in Guinness Book of World Records for the most ever body modifications. Anyone ever seen this guy? He looked like, his face looked like a cat. It's a really interesting thing. There's been this incredible trend in the United States that, this is crazy as this sounds, right? People think that they're animals and they'll act like animals and they'll change their bodies and modify their bodies. We've seen this act out all over. You see, there is this incredible desire that people have for a sense of contentment, a sense of belonging, a sense of connection. And many chase this through various odd, sad lenses. And folks, without the knowledge that God has spoken with clarity into creation, His creation, we cannot say whether something is right or wrong. It all comes down to God speaking in truth. and Stephen could declare because he had an encounter with the Lord. In fact, he was full of the Spirit. I love the connection there. When Moses comes down from the mountain, his face shines. When Jesus transfigures in Matthew 23, what happens? His garments shine. And when Stephen proclaims, when the table server proclaims that God has spoken with clarity into creation and revealed himself unto man, his face shines. The men before him were seeking physical connection, physical contentment, earthly belonging like many today. But unless God has revealed himself into creation, there is no way that we can offer that contentment. And in fact, we cannot offer that contentment. It is Christ himself. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 says, "Who has saved us and called us by, with a holy calling, and not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was guaranteed in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Folks, the men who stood before Stephen that day seeking some type of a physical kingdom looked back at the narrative and the promises that Christ had made, and there was a big question mark. The story was unfulfilled. And as they listened to the story, as Stephen spoke to the men in front of him and spoke their language and spoke to their needs, he proclaimed that the story was fulfilled in Christ. And he had to start from the beginning. Verse 6. "But God spoke to this effect." There is that spokenness again. There is that spokenness. God spoke. God revealed himself unto man over and over again. God spoke to this effect, that his descendants would be aliens in foreign land and that they would be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. Again, returning to Genesis. Folks, there is something that needs to be very, very well understood. Stephen stood before this man, and he believed that Genesis literally occurred, that an Abraham really lived, that God really showed up and sat underneath the fig tree. And it's critical that we know God revealed himself. Genesis 15, 13, he's talking about. And of course, God prophesies. But what's crazy, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. 16. "But as it is, they desire a better country. This is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." Jump over to 39. Connect the two here. "And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised." Folks, the men before him had believed that God spoke into creation, but they couldn't connect all the story. You see, they could believe that because the Holy Spirit had been working on their hearts, but they couldn't connect the full story. He proclaims with clarity. He proclaims truth. He shows them historically where Christ was found in the narrative. And he goes from the beginning. Verse 7. "And whatever nation to which they will be in bondage, I myself will judge, and said God. And after that, they will come out and serve me in this place." Where was the temple at that time? There wasn't a temple. The temple had been destroyed. It was about ready to be destroyed, excuse me. But the original temple was not there. The people knew that they had been in bondage over and over again. And now when Stephen looks back at the bondage, he talks about how this group had been a slave, but now they're a slave in a different way. Not only are they a slave to the Roman Empire, they're a slave to sin. And they need redemption. Folks, the people here in this community don't even know that they're a slave. It's sad when kids don't even know what a Bible is. Elena, great job giving those. I loved that story. That's like one of my favorite stories from VBS. You heard about that, right? She told the kids about Daniel. They didn't know that it was a real story. She told them that it really happened and that it was in the Bible, if I'm telling the story right. And they said, "What's a Bible?" She made sure all of them had Bibles when they left. Those are kids in this town. Those are kids from this town that didn't know that a Bible, what a Bible even was. If we have two churches in a town of 260 people and there are kids here who don't know what a Bible is, we've done something wrong. If God has spoken into creation and revealed himself clearly and we can't proclaim that, then we've done something wrong because even the table server in Acts knew it. He could give a defense. Closing out his first little narrative, because what's very interesting about Stephen is he goes first to Abraham, then he goes to Joseph, and then he goes to Moses. And then he goes to the fathers, and then they put his rear end to death. The table server was the most courageous man in that church. The table server was ready. Verse 8. Stephen's still speaking about Abraham and God. And here's what he says. "And he gave them a covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac became the father of Jacob and Jacob of the 12 patriarchs." Again, do we see what Stephen's message is? God speaks with clarity. God doesn't speak in such a way that it's interpretive. Because I can tell you right now, if you've read the story in Genesis about circumcision, nobody is going to go do that to everyone that they own and do so unless they know that God has talked to them. I'm not trying to get gross there. But you understand. Folks who believe in the clarity of the gospel have no problem. No problem sharing its truth. They have no problem standing before people and proclaiming it. So you need to ask yourself today, as a believer, as one who claims to be a believer, can you give an account? Can you give a defense? You see, I'm going to give a defense, and in fact, what I loved Friday night, that last night of VBS, I love that. As long as VBS is done here, I hope we keep having everybody come in on that, from the community. Over 100 people were here, I think. I'm not exaggerating in that, am I? It was full. It was packed. It was awesome. Families, kids. And we got to proclaim the gospel. You see, we had table servants who allowed that to happen. Not servants, but you were serving. And when I tell you thank you, I mean it. We had people dancing. We had people, I hope we had people praying. If you weren't praying before VBS, be praying about it now. Pray about it for next year and pray for it and the impact of it now. You see, when the church moved, even the table server, when the church believed that God spoke into creation with confidence, even the man who served the tables could proclaim. And here's a great thing. You know, when I stood up here, we had one little girl come up, but there was a room full of lost people. I'm not discouraged because I can believe that God spoke with clarity when Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 44, "No one can come unto me unless the Father who sent him draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." I don't know who the Father is working on, so I'm going to keep proclaiming. You know what? Stephen did not know what was going to happen to him. Do you think he would have stopped if he did? He had been with the Lord. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. Number 333. I don't know how God is working on your heart. I believe that every time that we hear God's word, that we need to respond. When I read God's word, I want to pray that it changes me. Maybe it's not this drastic, incredible change every time, but God should convict the believer. And so as we have this hymn of invitation, I ask if you haven't made Christ your Lord, that you do come today and proclaim that. If you want to be baptized today, come forward. But if God's working on your heart, you can even come forward and let me pray with you, or pray right there in your seat. Let's stand and sing. Number 333.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe that you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in a local church and to share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.